Monday, Tuesday, dare we say Wednesday as well. We'll have a lot of sunshine to enjoy, and a high on Saturday just about 60, 68 on Sunday, in the 70s once we hit Monday, and we stay in the 70s as we go throughout most of the week. 64 right now in downtown Butler. I'm Tracy Morgan in the Next Tier Bank studios. Next Tier Bank, your hometown community bank. Your news time is 12:30. Always go online for any news at any time, butlerradio.com, and Alexa. Alexa-powered devices, download the Butler Radio News Skill, and then just say, Alexa, what's in the news? Dave Malarkey's up next with It's Your Turn. Thanks for joining us, and have a good day.
And now, It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's Your Turn. Weekdays from 12:30 to 2 on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's Your Turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the It's Your Turn program today. Friday edition, the last Friday in September, next to the last day of September. And we roll into October on Sunday. We have guests lined up later on the program today, but we're going to start with Open Talk, 283-2525. We will be chatting later with Patrice Banks. She is a very interesting individual. She's from Philadelphia. She worked for quite a few years, more than a decade, as an engineer. And she decided that she was going to quit that line of work and become an auto mechanic. And not only that, but she has published a very, very interesting guide. It's a glove box guide. It's called the Girls Auto Clinic Glove Box Guide, and it's really handy. I don't care whether you're a girl or a guy. It's a pretty handy little book. We'll talk to her about it. She's not in Butler. She's in Philadelphia, but we'll be talking to her by telephone a little bit later on the program today. Also today, you know, every so often, one of these so-called biblical scriptures turns up, or something that may have been or should have been part of the scriptures. I kind of, I don't scoff at them, but I kind of chuckle a little bit. And then, of course, there are, you know, the stories that are written. We had the Dan Brown thing from the Da Vinci Code. That's got to be probably 7-8 years ago now, maybe even a little longer. Linda Stacy will be visiting with us. She has written a novel, a mystery novel, a thriller, kind of in the mode of the Da Vinci Code. It's called The Book of Judas. And she says it's based on the Gospel of Judas, the so-called the Gospel of Judas. I don't know. There have been a lot of these pseudo-gospels that have turned up over the years. Usually they turn out to be nothing. But, hey, we'll talk to her. And the novel, by the way, it's a novel, so it's just like the Da Vinci Code, in terms of, I mean, it's not a true story, but she'll chat with us a little bit for a few minutes, a little bit later on the program today. But first, it's Open Talk. 283-2525 is our number. 283-2525. Open Talk on the program today. This is the holiest day of the year for Jews around the world. This is Yom Kippur, with the everything completely shut down in Israel. No stores are open. There's no traffic on the roadways. The only thing that's even comparable to it in our society here in America would be Christmas Day, because most everybody is shut down on Christmas Day, right? Maybe a few convenience stores open. You could go to the get-go, maybe. But on every other holiday, let's face it, you know, it didn't used to be this way, but in America today, every other holiday, the stores are open. It's a big sale. You know, whether it's Washington's birthday or Veterans Day or whatever it is, not on Christmas. And that's the way it is on Yom Kippur, the most somber and holy day for Jews around the world. Open talk at 283-2525, 283-2525. What is your take, listeners, on this whole controversy over players not standing for the national anthem before National Football League games? And the comments made by President Trump a week or so ago. That was a week ago, yes. Last Friday night, I believe, down in Louisiana. It's amazing the reaction that there's been to this. People seem to be pretty passionate about both sides. How about veterans clubs here in the Butler area saying we're not putting NFL games on our televisions anymore? And there are several American Legion and VFW posts in the Butler area who have stopped showing NFL games due to the controversy. VFW Post 249 in the city of Butler. Last night, they did not put Thursday night football on their TVs. For those who were at the club, they say they will not air the NFL games this Sunday. Now, these clubs, if you've never been in them, some of them are pretty big. At Butler's American Legion Post 117, there are 8 TV screens around the club. None of them will be carrying NFL games this weekend. And American Legion Post 778 in Lindora, which is a huge facility, also going to be following suit, not showing NFL games on TV. Some people may think this is an overreaction. Some people may not. I don't know whether... I personally haven't bumped into anyone who wasn't going to watch football on TV because of this, but I haven't been going out taking a survey either. It hasn't come up in conversation. In fact, I don't know, most of the people that I've been around, it doesn't seem to be a high priority item. Now, I understand for many people it is. But for other people, say, well, okay, life goes on, you know. Obviously, for these veterans clubs around the area, it's a high-priority item. They're shutting off the NFL on TV. How long will that last? I have no idea. I don't know. I'm not a member of any of those clubs. Is it a one-week thing, or... Are they eventually going to go back to watching NFL football games on TV? I have no idea. I have no idea. I haven't heard of this happening in any other parts of the country, but maybe it has. In fact, I presume that it has, at least in some areas. Yeah. I haven't run into anybody in my circle of acquaintances who is burning their Steeler memorabilia. I've heard reports on TV of somebody burning his Steeler jersey or whatever. Those things are expensive, by the way. Those things are like 40 or 50 bucks, aren't they? Yeah. I mean, if you get the authentic, probably more than that. I don't know. I've never bought one. And never will. Maybe that's why. Phone number, by the way, is 283-2525, 283-2525. Maybe that's why this doesn't seem like such a high priority item to me. Maybe that's why I'm kind of surprised by some of the reaction, some of the backlash. And I'm not criticizing it by any means. I guess I didn't expect it. You know, I didn't expect it. President Trump has not let off. He's still calling for National Football League owners to fire players who don't stand for the national anthem. Who take a knee, kneel down, or whatever. Sit, I guess. Kneeling can be a sign of respect, too. Although I don't think Colin Kaepernick, who started this whole thing, I think he obviously meant to be different when he knelt instead of standing. And that's a year ago. More than a year ago. And it kind of went along. It was no big deal, but it really blew up when President Trump called for the players to be fired. He also used some pretty strong language, some would say vulgar language, describing the players. I don't think anyone was too keen on that, or maybe they were. I don't know. 283-2525 is the number, 283-2525. I can't judge on Thursday Night Football because I can't tell you the last time I watched one of those games. I just think there's too much of it on TV to begin with. Thursday night, Sunday, afternoon game, late afternoon game, night game, Monday game. It's just too much. So what do you think? Are you surprised by the reaction, by the backlash, or no? Are you not surprised at all? 283-2525 is the number. 283-2525 if you'd like to share your opinion on this issue. It's a pretty amazing controversy. Let's go to the people. Hi there, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi, yes. I just think it's very disgraceful, and these people have no respect for what the flag means. They must apparently do not have people that fought over anywhere. If they would got on a plane and fought there one day, I think they would be a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the view that a lot of people, I dare say probably the majority of people from what I've heard, are taking, the view that you have.
Right, and I mean, it's just that this country is just, like I used to watch the Grammys and that, and I don't watch that anymore because they all have their platform and they're all doing that. I go and watch programs because I want to see who's going to win this or going to win that. I don't want to hear their opinion on that. They should get their own TV show or get on a talk show that's doing that, and then you can listen to it.
Let me ask you two more things, because you're very well spoken on your opinion. You think that the players are being disrespectful. Are you still going to watch football on TV?
No, I haven't watched it since.
And you won't watch it anymore this year?
No, I will not.
Have you
thought? I actually have a game that I'm supposed to go to, and I am giving my tickets away.
Have you thrown away any of your Steeler memorabilia, Steeler cups or hats or anything like that?
No, not the jerseys, mostly because they were gifts to me.
Mm-hmm.
But that's about all I have because I could wear that to the game. And I was very disappointed because I do. I love my Steelers, And then I'm very respectful of the Penguins because they are going to the White House, and Sid couldn't have spoken it better. It's not politics, that's a tradition, And just because you don't like our president, you should like our president. He was voted in, and it even says in the Bible, a country divided will fall. And I think that's a sad thing to think about because I think that's the way it's going.
Thanks for your thoughts, my friend. Nice to talk to you today.
Thanks. You too. Thank you. Have a good day.
Sure. Bye. 283-2525 is our number. Open talk, 283-2525. Caller, thanks for waiting. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi, Dave. How are you doing today?
Pretty good. Pretty good. What do you think about this whole thing?
Well, as the previous caller said, the country divided, and I think it's just going to have to play that out. I sent you an email, Dave, with some links to some stuff on the police violence. I don't know if you looked at it or not.
I did. In fact, after getting your email, I scheduled an interview, I think it was on about a week and a half ago. You missed it?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I can email you back a link and you can listen to it on demand. It'll be on our website. I think it was about a week and a half ago. I don't remember exactly.
Okay, well, I mean, along the lines of the divided country, mm-hmm. I mean, as I linked you to a couple of those groups on Facebook, filming the police and policing the police, et cetera, like she said, I think things have to get to the point where, as individuals, we decide, what is more important here. Is it more important for people to stand, at attention, et cetera, when the national anthem is played, that kind of behavior as opposed to the kind of behavior that the police are engaged in that just is going unchecked. I mean, there's nothing being addressed with that.
Well, that's why Colin Kaepernick a year ago knelt down during the national anthem. He was protesting just what you're talking about.
Right. Well, I believe that he started by just sitting on the bench, and I believe as it grew, then in a way, kind of acquiescing or respecting somewhat, mm-hmm. is when he started to kneel. But I mean, it's so sad that listening to NPR news program, they're more concerned with what's going to happen tonight at the game than the issue that started it all.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and we're told, well, vote. And how long is that going to take before? I mean, it's getting to the point, like with Rosa Parks, where, you know, and I hate to say it, but I'd like to see the Black Lives Matter just totally destroy a town. I mean,
I would kind of agree with you on
nothing they do.
Yeah, but I don't think we settle
them anywhere.
We don't settle anything We don't settle anything with violence, though. You can't have that. That's chaos.
Right, Dave. But the president himself, he's not acknowledging the police problem. The FOP, they just protect these police officers, and they come up with ridiculous, quote unquote, explanations. You know, I had to get off Facebook because people were saying, you know, these veterans can't stand it for the national anthem. Well, all the people that the police have killed, they can't stand either.
Thanks, my friend, for your thoughts on this issue. I appreciate you calling in today.
All right, Dave. Thank you.
Well, no, thank you. Thanks for your thoughts. 283-2525 is our number. What do you think about this controversy? It's really exploded in the last week, ever since President Trump's remarks last weekend, last Friday night down in Alabama, where he called for NFL owners to fire any players who refuse to stand at the national anthem. Let's get another opinion from a caller. Hi there. Thanks for waiting. I know you were waiting a while. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi.
Yes, hi. You're on the air. Go ahead.
I'm not going to burn none of my clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to keep them. I bought them. I'm not going to throw them away. I think they're wrong by not watching the Steelers on TV.
Mm-hmm. So you are going to still watch the Steelers on television?
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm. Well, from what I hear, the Steelers say they made their unity statement, and they plan to be on the sidelines standing this Sunday in Baltimore whenever they play the Ravens.
I'll be watching for it.
Mm-hmm. All right, friend.
Just like marijuana, you know, they had growing, mm-hmm. and there was arrest and everything else, and now they're going to grow it again. I don't understand that.
Well, I haven't understood that for a long, long time, but kind of a separate issue, I think, compared to this.
It is separate, but I'll watch the Steelers. I don't care what they do.
Mm-hmm. All right, my friend. Hey, thanks a lot. Appreciate your call.
Yeah, thank you.
Sure, good to talk with you. 283-2525. Well, we've had a smattering of opinions so far. What do you think about this issue? 283-2525, 283-2525. We've had people who said they think the players are being totally disrespectful. And never going to watch an NFL game on TV again, one lady said. Another caller who decries the fact that we're so divided. Well, we had a caller there who said she's not going to burn any of her Steeler memorabilia or anything, and she's still going to watch them on TV, even though she thought they were wrong last Sunday. 283-2525 is the number, 283-2525. What about the veterans clubs here in our area? VFW Post 249 in the city of Butler did not show Thursday night football on TV last night. Not Chilling Thursday night is never going to bother me because I never watch. Butler American Legion Post 117, where they have 8 TV sets in the club. None of them will be carrying this weekend's NFL games. American Legion Post 778 in Lindora will also be following suit. Overreaction, some might say. Others might say, spot on, way to go. Way to go, guys and gals. 283-2525 is the number, 283-2525. And then there's a question of what do you do at home? If you're watching a game on TV, do you get up out of your recliner and stand when the national anthem is played? I'm not sure that too many people do. I don't know. I've never seen anybody do it. Maybe some do. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi, Dave.
Hi. How you doing?
All right. Thanks. And you?
Oh, it's nice to have you with us today.
Thank you. My opinion on this is I think Roger Goodell last year was calling that he should have put a stop to it right then.
Mm-hmm.
And then none of this would be going on right now. Because there was other reasons that was said than because of the police and Black Lives Matter, blah, 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 why he was taking the knee. And if they would have put a stop to it right then, I don't think we'd have any of this. And I had heard before President Trump made that announcement on Friday that the Kansas City Chiefs had already made that announcement, and it was almost word for word that any of their players that didn't take that didn't stand for the anthem would be fired. And I said, well, good for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because Goodell said, you know, that he takes so much pride in the flag and the anthem. This doesn't show any pride whatsoever. And I say the same for the Steelers. They were in that tunnel. You could see them in the tunnel. You know, why couldn't they just come out the rest of the way to back their player?
Now, we had all sorts of conflicting stories about the Steelers in particular and why Al Villanueva ended up standing out there by himself. Supposedly, Cam Hayward and Ben Roethlisberger were supposed to be out there with him, but they got caught in the crush of people coming in carrying stuff. I don't know, band members or something. I don't know. There were all kind of stories about why it shook down that way.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But you'll never forget that picture, will you? Villanueva standing there by himself.
No. And it was a strong message, too. But
he said, in all fairness, he said the next day, he said, well, that wasn't the way it was supposed to be. It ended up that way as an accident. He said, I didn't intend to be a symbol or anything else. He said, that's just the way it happened. I did see a photograph, I think it was yesterday, because they're obviously digging around for pictures that people might have taken or TV stills or whatever.
Right.
I did see a picture where you can see Roethlisberger and I think Cam Hayward, I think, right behind Villanueva. So maybe they were trying to get out and be with him. Roethlisberger said that was the intent. The three of them were going to stand there together. By the time he was able to get up to the end of the tunnel, they'd already started playing the national anthem, and he thought it would be disrespectful to, you know, keep moving after that, so he just stopped. Now, I don't. What do I know? I have no idea.
Right.
What's really true, but I did see a picture of the two of them right behind them, you know, from another angle. So.
Oh, I saw the rest of the team right behind them, too, in a picture.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, once again, we don't know. We don't know what really happened.
Well, let me ask you something else. What do you think about this? Phone number, by the way, folks, is 283-2525. Nobody's right or wrong on this. We're just discussing it. 283-2525. What about the fact that almost none of the TV networks even show the national anthem? You're aware of that, aren't you?
Yes.
They usually they give an hour pregame, covering things from every possible angle that they can. And then they say, we'll be back after this break for the start of the game. And they don't even show the national anthem. Now, they've started to recently because of the controversy, but they never showed it for years.
No.
They cut away to a commercial. Is that disrespectful on the part of the TV networks?
Yes, I think it is. Yeah. The media today is, you know, whatever they want to show. That's my feeling, you know, is what they want to show. And maybe they don't want to show the anthem. I don't have the answer for that.
I think they probably want to get a couple of more commercials in is what they want to do.
I think so. Yeah, right. Well, thank you for letting me rest.
Thanks for sharing your thoughts. I appreciate that's what we do here. Good to talk with you.
Yeah. You too. Yeah. Bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye. 283-2525. I've also heard, and I was going to run this down, but I didn't. I've heard that the federal government has paid the NFL on many occasions to bring these big flags out and to bring Army personnel onto the scene and to make a big show. Have you heard that, Pat Parker? He's our producer. That the government paid the teams to do this? Is that true? That adds another whole dimension to it, I think. 283-2525 is the number. It's Open Talk. Hi, caller. This is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hello. The lady that said she wouldn't burn her clothing and she would still continue to watch them, evidently she has never lost anybody at war who stood up and fought for that flag and things. Mm-hmm. She just sitting back on enjoying her lovely friends at Steelers, and she's never lost anybody at war for that.
I hear your passion, my friend. I know exactly what you're saying. I also heard a medal winner, Bronze Star, I think. I saw him on TV two nights ago, who served in Afghanistan, and he said, that's exactly why I served, so that people could protest in a mm-hmm. free country, if they so desire.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you may not agree with the protest, but his take was, that's exactly why I served. And now, I hear your passion. Believe me, I do. I know exactly where you're coming from.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. 283-2525 is the number, 283-2525. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Good afternoon, Dave. How are you?
Pretty good. Nice to have you with us today, my friend.
Yeah, I just thought I'd give you a call and throw in my two cents.
Please do.
I have an idea for everybody here around Butler and Butler County, the surrounding area. It's tomorrow morning, go to Butler Memorial Park around 8:30, 8:45 before the little kids start playing football. My son plays in that league. He plays flag football. But you'll notice before the game starts, they play the national anthem. And the parents, everybody stands up, you remove your hat, you put your hand over your chest. Even the children do it, you know. I think people ought to go and watch, support the kids, but see how America is supposed to be. Right there is the way it should be. Mm-hmm. It's complete respect. There's no discrimination between the little black boys and the little white boys. You know, everybody respects everybody. Everybody respects the flag, and everybody respects the game. And they all shake hands after the game is over and look forward to the next one.
Yeah. Should we only play the national anthem before sporting events? What about other events and activities?
Well, that's up to the activities. It's just one thing after another in this country that they have to carry too far. Mm-hmm. You know, it's bad enough you do have a diversity, it's a divided country, but then you have to fight over the flag, you know, and the national anthem. You know, what's next?
Thanks, my friend. Thanks for your thoughts. Thanks for sharing with us.
Yeah. I'll get some people out there tomorrow to watch the game.
Okay.
They start at 9 a.m.
Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Dave.
Sure. 283, he's talking about Butler Midget Football, right? Down at Memorial Park, yeah. 283-2525 is our number. It's Open Talk. What do you think about this whole controversy? 283-2525. Hi there. This is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
I think that the people are just... the places you have to realize that this is a free country, And people should be allowed to do whatever they want to do. If someone wants to kneel down, God bless them. Those that want to stand up, God bless them and keep them going.
Mm-hmm.
I think our president started all this crap with his cuss words. And he had no business to sticking his nose in that.
You know, that's an interesting point of view because I've heard some other people say that. They say, Colin Kaepernick started all this a year or so ago. He was the only one that did it. And in the entire year since then, there have only been a handful of people that have ever done it. Like 7 or 8, I think.
Right.
Until Trump made his comments last Friday night. That's what ignited the firestorm. That's what set off the mass protests. I mean, up until that time, there had been like 7 or 8 people do this.
Right.
And Colin Kaepernick couldn't get a job as dog catcher after he did it. He's without a team. Nobody wants him. Nobody will hire him. So, you know, what does that tell you? He decided that's what he wanted to do, and it cost him his job. Whether that's right or wrong is beside the point, but other people are saying this was dying out until Trump made his remarks, his inflammatory remarks last Friday night. And what did he bring that up for? He was campaigning for a U.S. Senate candidate down in Alabama. How did he get to talking about National Football League, for goodness? I have no idea.
I don't know. But I just know that it's still a free country, and if there's people who want to kneel, fine. If those that want to stand up, God bless them. May they be. I don't normally listen to the football game.
Mm-hmm.
I watch the baseball, and then I'll trip over once in a while to see what the score is on the Steelers game.
Mm-hmm.
But there's only a couple more days left for the Buccos.
Yeah, they're going to be done on Sunday, right? Yeah.
I think they have two or three days.
The good news for you is the Penguins open the season next Wednesday, so you can watch them.
Oh, that drives me crazy, watching them people going back and forth.
Thanks, my friend, for calling in and sharing your thoughts with us. I appreciate that. Thanks very much.
All right. But like I say, I will watch the football game.
Mm-hmm.
After
the baseball's over, huh?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks, my friend. Hey, have a good weekend, okay?
All right. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you. 283-2525, the number. Thanks, caller, for your patience in waiting. Go right ahead. It's your turn. You're on the air.
Hello, Dave. How are you?
Just fine. Nice to talk to you.
About this issue with disrespect and everything.
Mm-hmm.
If I can recall, one of our founding fathers, I don't know if it was Thomas Jefferson or Benjamin Franklin, made a quote, and he said that I might not agree with what you say, but I will defend with my dying breath your right to say it.
Yes, I don't recall exactly who said that either, but I know the quote, yeah.
And our veterans who go off to war, that's exactly what they're doing. They are dying there, but they are dying to defend your rights. And these football players have the right to stand or to kneel. There are some countries in this world, if you would look cross-eyed at their flag or something, you're not fired from your job, you're executed.
True.
That's what we have in this country, is the freedom to decide how we want to live.
I hear you. But do you also agree that the veterans at, say, an American Legion or a VFW post, if they decide that they're not going to show NFL on TV, they have the right to do that too, right?
they also have that right.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And I can see their passion. You state your case very nicely, my friend. Thanks for joining us today.
Yes, sir.
Thanks.
Bye now.
Sure. 283-2525 is the number, 283-2525. Let's go to this line next. Hi, caller. This is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi, Dave. It's Frank.
Hi. How you doing?
Good. I was listening to one talk show, and they were saying, well, they brought this up, okay, when you kneel, I like going to the church. That's an honor.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you meet the Pope or some, you know, like,
yeah, a lot of people, probably most people kneel to pray, I imagine, so that's a sign of reverence to kneel.
Well, like I said, you know, if you meet the Pope, you kneel in front of him. But still, I think it's wrong with the American flag. I think it's very, very wrong.
Well, I can see, you know, that kneeling can be seen as a sign of reverence, but the standard procedure to show respect when the national anthem is being played is to stand. Now, you know, there are other ways you could salute if you're, that technically only former service personnel or active service should salute. You could put your hand over your heart if you so desired. Okay. But, you don't have to do all of that stuff perfectly. I think the standard... standard thing is to stand. I think most people would accept that. If you don't want to do that, you're right, I guess. I don't know. That's going to make some people mad. You know? If
just make me mad, okay? Is this a protest?
Well, if the guys who don't stand, I mean, they should understand if they don't do it that it's going to make some people mad. It's going to irritate some people, and it's going to make some people very mad. You know? That's the... You're free to do what you want to do, but you also have to accept the consequences of your action. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all I had to say.
Thank you for joining us. Thanks, my friend. Thank you. 283-2525 is the number. 283-2525. We have really had a wide variety of thoughts. And by the way, very well-spoken individuals on the program today as well, expressing their point of view on this issue that has become a flashpoint all over the country. All over the country. And I guess my only hope is that people don't rush to judgment one way or another. I mean, I don't mean to be wishy-washy about it, but if someone strongly disagrees with an opinion, okay, I disagree, or the opposite. But I just hate to see people immediately go into, you know, this defensive mode and in some cases violent mode. I don't have to tell you about some of the nasty stuff that has turned up on social media. Specifically with regard to the Steelers and the Steeler coach. I mean, that sort of thing, that's not so good, I don't think. Let's take one more call here. We're nearing the end of our time for Open Talk. Caller, this is Dave, and you've got the last word. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
I'm just fine. Nice to talk with you today.
Thank you. I have a question. I don't know. What do they require today when the kids are in school? Do they all have to pray? Do they all have to stand and put their heart pin over their heart in front of the flag? Do they?
Well, there's no praying allowed like there was when I was in public school. I know that there was a joint prayer that was recited, the Lord's Prayer. They don't have that anymore. I do not know about the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. I don't know whether that's still done in schools or not. I couldn't tell you.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no... actually, when I was in elementary school, now that I'm thinking about it, the teacher read something from the Bible, a couple of verses from the Bible, and then we all recited the Lord's Prayer, and then we said the National Anthem. Not the National Anthem, the Pledge of Allegiance. But that's a long, long time ago.
Yeah. Well, do they take a minute to let the children pray if they like to, or that's just gone.
I don't know. I can tell you this, I always said a little prayer before an algebra test.
I can understand that, yes. Well, I'm just saying, you know, that's you know, how they're doing things in school, and, you know, everybody should be able to do, you know, what they feel is right, you know.
Most public...
And not make such a big fuss over it.
Mm-hmm. Most public meetings that I've attended, governmental meetings, always start with the Pledge of Allegiance. I can't think of any that don't. School board meetings and so on and so forth. City council, county commissioner, that sort of thing. Most start with the Pledge of Allegiance these days.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's just so much fighting and arguments about things like that. I can't remember what school it was where they had the Ten Commandments in the front of the school for years, and they finally had to move it. That's just ridiculous.
That's a whole other issue, but it does tie in. I can see what you mean. Hey,
yeah.
Thanks for joining us today. Have yourself a great weekend, okay?
Okay, thank you, Dave.
Okay, nice to talk with you. We'll take a break.
Bye-bye.
We'll take a break, yes. When we come back, our first guest joins us today. We're going to be talking with Patrice Banks about, this is one of the handiest things I've seen, a glove box guide. It's designed for women to help you know what's going on with your car, but believe me, guys, men, you could learn from this thing. We'll talk to Patrice Banks coming up on the It's Your Turn program in just a moment, right after these words. For so many of us, a loving pet is, well, it's a member of the family, isn't it? If you're looking for a veterinarian you can trust when it comes time for a checkup or treatment for a pet that's ill, consider Suburban Animal Clinic and Dr. Dennis Damon. Route 8 south of Butler, 4 miles south of Butler, right at the intersection of Route 8 South and Thorncrest Drive. Dr. Damon treats small animals, dogs, cats, all small animals, and exotic pets, too. If you have a question about illness, symptoms, shots, a checkup, if you need to talk to someone about concerns with an aging pet or a pet near the end of life, you can trust Dr. Dennis Damon. He loves animals. He's a pet owner himself. Dr. Dennis Damon, veterinarian at Suburban Animal Clinic. Hours by appointment only, Monday through Saturday. Credit cards are accepted, and he makes house calls, too. Dr. Dennis Damon, Suburban Animal Clinic, Route 8, 4 miles south of Butler at the intersection of Route 8 and Thorncrest Drive. Phone 287-5289.
Since 1938, Hunter Truck Sales has been a leader in the trucking industry. With 19 locations, we've grown to be the largest heavy truck dealership network in the Northeast. Proudly, Hunter has employed generations of families in the region and was recently honored to be named 2017 Family Business of the Year by the Pittsburgh Business Times. Check it out online at huntertrucksales.com for truck inventory, careers, and locations. Across our network, Hunter will provide solutions for all your trucking needs.
Listeners, boy, I'm fascinated to talk to our next guest here on the It's Your Turn program on WISR. And by the way, if you're just joining us here today, that's terrific. My name is Dave Malarkey. Our guest is Patrice Banks, who joins us by telephone today. She is the author of Girls Auto Clinic Glove Box Guide. And is this ever full of great information? First of all, Patrice Banks, nice to meet you. Nice to have you with us here today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
This seems to me to be a guide that's been a long time coming, Patrice, an auto guide that's aimed specifically at women. Am I right?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely, it is a long time coming, and I wrote this book because I know that women have often struggled with the automotive industry and their experiences. They often feel like auto airheads. That's what I called myself. I was an auto airhead. I didn't know anything about my car. I always felt taken advantage of, and I needed a guy to help me. And so I never intended to become a mechanic. I'm actually an engineer, and I had a really great career. And I was empowered in many parts of my life, except when it came to my car. And so I noticed that this was a problem for me and many other women. So I started looking for a female mechanic. I started looking for resources online that I thought could help me learn more about my car, change these experiences. And I couldn't find anything. It was very limited information out there. So I went back to school to learn how to work on cars so I could create something for women. And that's really where Girls Auto Clinic came about.
Well, I think it's very important that we present that background information because you referred to yourself as an auto airhead. I never heard the phrase before. But, you know, there are a lot of, I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of guys who are in that position, too. Maybe a little embarrassed to admit it. But that doesn't necessarily, just because you don't know a whole lot about a car, for goodness sakes, that doesn't mean you're stupid. Patrice Bank, listen, she was an engineer. She was a former engineer, for goodness sake.
Yeah, and I would subscribe to the stereotype that cars weren't for women. You're not going to get it. You have to get a guy, because it was just always what I've been told. And as I started to become more of an adult and more empowered and realizing some of these stereotypes and stories and cultural, you know, references that we believe and belong to, even though they don't apply to us in all areas of our lives, are, you know, not real. And I should know about my car, and I can know about it. When I went back to learn and I was in school, it really wasn't hard. I was 31 and in class with 19-year-old boys, right? And I'm sitting here thinking, why did I think this was so hard and I couldn't get it? I couldn't wait to share this information with women as soon as I was learning it. In car care workshops, right? I was talking to women about their cars in ways that's relatable, that they could get it, that they understood. You know, it's never anything that's over your head or real technical talk, right? I'm like, you don't need to know this. This is what you need to know, right? So I explain it as like everything less and nothing more when I'm talking to women, because you don't want to overwhelm us, right? You just want to give us the right amount of knowledge so we know we're making the right choice with our car, we're smarter consumers, and definitely more confident drivers.
Well, the structure of your book, and I want to talk about this in a couple of minutes because it's really laid out in wonderful fashion, but I did want to make sure that we made that point early on. And quite frankly, I'm coming at this from a guy's standpoint, obviously, but I have a feeling that a lot of women have the impression that they're being taken advantage of when they take a car to, you know, if it's somebody they don't know, if it's your trusted dealership, that's a different story. But if it's, you know, some guy, I have a feeling that a lot of women are a little bit leery that they're being hoodwinked. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I talk to women because that's how I felt. I didn't have what I call a PCT or a primary care technician. You know, I have a PCP, a primary care physician, that I go to for all of my needs, whether I'm sick or healthy, checkups, you know. It's the same thing for your car. Your car needs a PCT. And I'd say one of the biggest mistakes we make with our car is we shop hop or we cheat on our cars by going around to a different mechanic to work on it. And, you know, that's where mistakes are made. That's when you don't know how to trace what the problems are. You don't understand the history of your car. And you're more likely to get taken advantage of it and make poor decisions. And so you definitely want to have a PCT, and that's going to get rid of 75% of your anxiety when it comes to what's going on with my car, because you know, just like your doctor, they care about you and they care about your car. So there's a whole section in the book that talks about how to find a PCT, how do you know they're a good, you know, primary care technician, you know, and take your car to him or her for everything, oil changes, you know. I know we want to get the convenience of going to a quick lube place sometimes, but, you know, that's sometimes where we get upsold or they do something wrong because they don't have the best trained techs there. They're a lot of times beginners, you know, and they're rushing.
Yeah.
So you pay for these things when you're trying to rush things or get the cheapest price. It's going to hurt you in the long run. So, yeah, find your PCT is very important.
By the way, Patrice, hey, listen, she knows what she's talking about here. She mentioned that she was a former engineer, 12 years. She worked as an engineer. She currently runs a full-service auto repair shop staffed by female mechanics, right?
Yeah, we're in Philly. I have a full-service repair catered to women. I wanted Girls Auto Clinic to be a whole business around women in their cars. Providing not just these resources like my book and, you know, online things, but also a repair center. And, yeah, all female mechanics. And there is a salon there so you can get your hair and your nails done while you wait for your car.
Let me talk about your book specifically a little bit here because I said I wanted to talk about the structure. Folks, if you can imagine, and I'm sure everyone, you know, when you first purchased your current car, it comes with a manual, right, an owner's manual. Mm-hmm. And I want to tell you, folks, the most recent car I bought This was like picking up a copy of the federal tax code. It was so big and so complicated and difficult to find. I'll tell you what, I found your book to be, I've got a review copy right in front of me here. I'm paging through it. It's kind of like an owner's manual, generic, of course, because it's not any specific car, but it demystifies it. It makes it a whole lot easier to understand. There are pictures of gauges and stuff in here. There's not a whole lot of extraneous junk piled in here. It's a paperback book. I don't know. It's about, 250 pages. So it's thorough, but it's not not mystifying. And you start out, I love this.
Go ahead. A lot of illustrations in there. Like, this isn't a cover-to-cover read. It is supposed to be like a manual or a guide. And you keep it in your glove box. That's why it's called the glove box guide. So not on the bookshelf. You take it out. You'll reference it when you need it. If you're at the repair center, if you're down the side of the road because the car's overheating or you have a flat tire, or, you know, if you have a question about when you get your oil changed or when you get your foot flushed or when do you rotate your tires, how much is it going to cost to do that stuff, right? When can I expect these things to break? All that stuff you can find in the book, and it's very easily laid out. That's going to help you make the right choice with your car.
It starts out with a couple of pages of questions, folks. So this is what I see. What it's called? It's a pop quiz. Test your auto care IQ. And guys, don't get too uppity about this, because I'll bet some of these questions you don't know. Let me pick a couple here, Patrice. Number six, driving your car in cold weather without first warming it up for several minutes will damage your engine. Myth or fact? Which is it, Patrice?
That is a myth. And so all the time at my workshops, I do car care workshops every month. I get women come in, they say, my dad says I got to warm the car. My husband says I got to warm the car. My brother says, my boyfriend. I'm like, no, that's an outdated fact, actually. When cars were a lot older and they had carburetors on them, they weren't fuel injected. So if you have a car that's from like the 90s and newer, you don't need to warm it up in the morning. You are warming it up as you drive off. You don't want to take off like you're Jeff Gordon, you know. But it saved that time for, you know, more time in the shower, snooze the alarm again, get some coffee. But yeah, you don't need to warm your car up anymore.
Let me ask you one other one here. You must change your engine oil every 3,000 miles. Myth or fact?
That is also a myth. That's kind of outdated as well. As new technology, better engines, better oil filters. Some cars will go 10,000 miles between oil changes. I have a 2010 Volkswagen Jetta, and that's what it is for my oil change frequency. But how you find out what yours is, because they're not a generic number. It changes per vehicle. Each vehicle has its own maintenance schedule. It tells you when your 2010 Kia Sorento needs oil change versus my 2008 Chevy Impala. They're going to be different. And I know we talked about the owner's manual being confusing, but there's a section in there called your maintenance schedule, or sometimes you get a little separate booklet that comes with the car, and that's going to tell you. That's your guide. That's kind of your footprint of what to do to take care of your car when it needs these things done. And that's your best defense against an upsell. And getting your oil change is the most important thing that you can do for your car. That's one that you're taking in most often, right? And your mechanic, your PCT, is going to check up on your car, make sure everything's going well, and there's nothing potentially that could be damaging your vehicle or coming up soon. So it's really important that we get our oil change when it's due, we don't go over the miles, and that we know, you know, when it's due.
We'll take a
see it all the time where we get engines blown up because people weren't changing the oil.
Yeah.
You know, it's $40 for an oil change, $3,000 for a rebuilt engine.
It's longer than it used to be with today's oil, but it's still important to do.
Yeah.
Listeners,
it is very important, yeah.
We have to take a quick break here. Fortunately, we have a few more minutes that we're able to chat with Patrice Banks, author of Girls Auto Clinic Glove Box Guide. It is the handiest little paperback guide you'll ever stick in your glove box, whether you're a girl or a guy. A quick break and back to pick up our conversation here on It's Your Turn on WISR right after these words.
If you're a dog person, you know how much a dog means in your life. You know how your dog gives you unrestricted love and affection and joy. You also know that the dog can be so comforting at just the right time when you need to be comforted. That's why Thompson Miller Funeral Home in Butler has O'Shea on their care team. O'Shea is there to provide the comfort and companionship that really helps, but she's only there at your request. Come in and meet O'Shea. You'll see why so many folks want her at the funeral. She creates a calming atmosphere. And while you're here, ask about our unique services, our competitive costs, our cremation program. Call us at 724-287-3706, 287-3706, or visit our website at www.thompson-miller.com. Thompson Miller Funeral Home at the corner of East North and McCain Streets in downtown Butler. Thompson Miller, time-honored excellence.
The seasons are changing. Maybe it's time for a new pair of shoes. Miller Shoes, 215 South Main Street in downtown Butler, has been shoe headquarters for generations of families from this area for decades and decades. That's no exaggeration. Generations of families. You know, they're going on 125 years. On South Main Street, downtown. They are your headquarters locally for SAS Comfort Shoes, America's favorite comfort shoes. And these shoes are the most comfortable things I've ever come across. They have them for men and women in a variety of different styles and colors. It's not all the same thing. They even have sandals, SAS sandals, which are just as comfortable as the shoes. You'll find other name brand shoes, brands that you recognize at Miller's, Trotters, Easy Spirit, Hush Puppies, Floor Shine, Foam Treads. Also, athletic shoes. All your famous brands are there. All under one roof. Nike, New Balance, Saucony, Rockport, Keds, Skechers, Easy Spirit, Asics, Pro-Pet. What do you prefer? Got them all there. No need to go to two or three different stores. And you always get that Miller's fit and that Miller's price. And a big smile, too, from Jimmy Chiprian and the rest of the gang there. Miller's Shoes, 215 South Main Street in downtown Butler. Miller's Shoes for 125 years. Welcome back. If you're just joining us, I'm Dave Malarkey, and this is It's Your Turn on WISR. We're talking with Patrice Banks, our guest, who visits with us on the telephone. She's the author of the Girls Auto Clinic Glove Box Guide. Now, whether you're, you know, a real, I love your term, Patrice, auto airhead, or whether you know a little bit, you know, you might know a little bit about cars, but, you know, this book still works for you. I mean, you, for the person who's really lacking all knowledge, I mean, you talk about things about, you know, how to open the hood, how to prop it up, what's safe to touch in there and what's not, right?
Yeah. I mean, nowadays with the cars getting newer, technology, some people don't even know what's okay to touch and not touch under the hood, or where even things are located and how to find them. And there's just, and I get it, like we're not the, you know, shade tree mechanics anymore where we can work on our own cars in front of our house in the backyard, but there are still basic things we need to know, like pop in the hood. And there's a lot of people who don't know how to do that and they're ashamed. And I'm like, there's no shame. I get it, right? We're going to show you how to do it. And we're going to show you what's underneath there. I used to be afraid to open my hood, scared, like, you know, monsters under the bed, scared to look underneath my bed, same thing. I was scared to look underneath there. I thought, what is all this? But I break it down for people in ways that's easily digestible. Here's what's important, and here's what you can touch. Here's what you can't touch. And there's a lot of things that we touch that we shouldn't be touching. So,
and
then there's a lot of things we don't touch we should.
Why you should not wait until your gas is on empty before filling up. Talk about that a little bit, Patrice. Why is that important?
Yes, this is one of the auto airhead habits that die hard with me because I hate pumping gas and I like living on the edge. But you have a gas tank in the back of your car that you pump your gas into. It needs to be pumped to the front of the car where the engine is, where it's injected into the engine. So you have a pump in your gas tank. And when you get down to a quarter of a tank, that pump has to work a lot harder to get to pump the fluid or the fuel to the front, and you're going to wear it out more. And there's also some particles that sit at the bottom of the gas tank that settle down there. You're pumping those into the pump as you get lower in the gas. And so what ends up happening, if your fuel pump wears out, the car won't start, and then you'll need to get a tow and a new fuel pump 7 hours later. So you want to try to keep your fuel always at a quarter of a level or higher. For that reason.
Here's another thing. And folks, a lot of these are common problems. Sometimes they're not so common. I can remember the warning lights on the dashboard, and it seems like the newer your car, the more of these that you have. When I start my car up, it looks like the control board of a nuclear submarine in there for a couple of minutes, you know, till things start to click off.
Yeah, I'd say mine looks like a Christmas tree.
That's good, too.
Why did a Christmas tree, yeah.
My father, who taught me to drive many, many years ago, and this was back in the days when there were about two or three of these lights, and that was about all there were, he called them idiot lights in a fun way.
My grandfather did, too.
Yeah, that was apparently a common term then. So in today's cars, or even if your car's a few years old, what do these mean? They're different colors now. If some of these lights come on, is it still okay to drive? If some of them come on, should you stop immediately? What's the deal? You explain all that, obviously, in your book.
Yeah. So, you know, because I would panic. Anytime a dashboard light came on, I was like, oh, my gosh. I would pray that it go away, you know, when I restarted the car. But what I tell people, so dashboards tend to be color-coded. If it's red, that means stop, safety. This is a hazard. Get this checked out right away. So your brake light, when that comes on, it means you don't have brake fluid. You could be without brakes. That's red, right? Oil pressure light is red. Orange means slow down, get it checked out, no need to panic. You'll notice your check engine light is orange or your tire pressure light low is orange. People panic with the check engine light, and I tell everyone it doesn't necessarily mean check your engine. It means you are burning fuel inefficiently. So either you're burning too much gas or you're polluting the environment too much. And that's what makes it come on. It could be your gas cap is loose. It could be you need to check your engine. It could be a catalytic converter. It could be a sensor. It could be an air filter. There's so many things going on with that check engine light. But you don't need to panic. You will notice that you'll burn fuel a little bit more. You may pollute the environment more. But get it checked out. At least know what's going on with it. And if it's green or blue, it just means go. It's activated. It's on.
What about and most new cars have a tire sensor light now that tells you, you know, if there's some concern about your tire inflation. Mine is a yellow U. It's kind of like looking at a cross section of a tire. But I got to tell you, I got a brand new car, Patrice, but every time there's a cold snap, the darn thing lights up, and I get around. I look at the tires; they're all okay. They don't. I'm not thinking it's flat. Is this pretty common when you have a couple of hot days, and then you have a cold night, and these tire inflation lights come on all of a sudden?
Yeah. So when things get cold, they tend to contract or compress. Same thing with air. So when it's cold out like that overnight, the air compresses or contracts, and it makes this in the tire of the car. The sensor believes there's not as much pressure inside that tire. But as soon as you start driving, like for 2 minutes, and the tire is moving, they're heating up, that air is warming up, it's starting to expand again, the pressure goes up, and that light should turn off. If you've driven for 2 miles and it still stays on in the morning, you probably need some air in your tires.
Speaking of which, this is something that most people can handle themselves, much cheaper than taking it to a garage. But again, it can be confusing. PSI, pounds per square inch. How much do I put in there? Is it different for every car? Is it different for the front wheels and the back wheels? That's pretty confusing, Patrice.
You know, it is. It is different for the front wheels and back wheels sometimes. It is different for every car. But the average is 33 PSI.
Okay.
You're looking somewhere between 30 and 35 for most cars. And you want to be careful you don't go over. Because when you go under, that light comes on, but it doesn't come on when you go over. But just like when you don't have enough air in your tires, if you use too much, you're more likely for a blowout, to pick up a nail. You're more likely to wear out your tires a lot quicker. So somewhere between 30 and 35 is where you want to have them. And you can find out what yours is. There's a sticker on the driver's side door jamb, and it'll tell you how much air to put in your tires. It is not on the sidewall of the tire. That is the maximum allowable pressure.
Yeah, a lot of people get confused by that. In fact, folks, if you've ever looked, I don't care whether you're a girl or a guy, if you've ever looked at the sidewall of a tire, there's all kinds of junk on there, all kinds of information. What's all that mean? Guess what? Patrice has a page in her book, a big picture of a tire with all that stuff on it, and it's a chart, and it tells you what every single one of those means. I didn't know all that stuff.
Yeah, and a lot of that stuff really is important. Your tire size is what you need to know when you need tires. M&S, you wanted to say M&S, which means mud and snow, or all season tires.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you live somewhere mountainous that gets a lot of snow, all season tires will pretty much do you fine in the winter. Those are the two most important things, tire size and making sure they're all season tires.
You folks, I'm sure many of you have heard this. I have. Using a penny, you know, a copper penny to check your tire tread. You hear this every fall. Check your tread to make sure you're good for the winter. I've never understood how to do that. They just say use a penny. And guess what? Patrice has a page in here, a picture, a graph of how to put a penny in there and see what, you know, they always say, well, if you can see Lincoln's head, it's not good or something. I never understood that. You have it explained very, very succinctly and very easily here.
Yeah, it's hard to explain, like, in person. It's that you see a picture, you get it right away.
Yeah.
Which is why I put a picture in there. But, yeah, all you need is a penny that you turn upside down and you stick it in the tread, and it's measuring the height or the thickness of the tread. So the higher that tread goes up on the penny, the better the tires are. And there's a point where if it's too low, it doesn't get high enough that your tires need to be replaced.
You're talking here about when it's time to say bye-bye to a car, when it's time to give up. And that's kind of hard to do sometimes, isn't it?
Well, not for me. I was always like, see, I'm ready for a new car. For some people, it could be hard. I get it. You've lived in this car for every year for 10 years. You know, you have good times with it.
But
when I tell people when it's time to get rid of a car, it's usually when the price of the repair gets to be about the price of the car or close to the price of the car. You know, you have to think about also, though, can you afford a new car? You need to think about your saving habits, your driving habits. If you beat up a car a lot, if you're not good with saving money, before you go and get rid of the car and purchase a new one, make sure you know to purchase the right car for you, because I tell people that's the most important decision you'll make with your car is the type of car you buy. And it depends on how you spend and save money and how you drive a car. And that car will last you too. If you're good with your car, it will last you 200,000 miles plus.
Let me ask you one more.
For a lot longer.
Let me ask you one more question here, Patrice. Our time is gone. Why do we still use the term horsepower? For goodness sakes, we haven't had horse and buggies forever. What does horsepower mean anyway, and why do they still use that? Does it matter at all?
So, I mean, horsepower is a term that's used as to how powerful the engine is, right, and how much power a horse produces and how much load they can carry. So basically it's like how fast it can go and how fast it can take off. If you don't have a race car, I mean, you're not really concerned about this number if you're not into that. So it's not something for people to even think about or worry about unless, you know, they are a race driver or someone who's into cars for speed and performance. And they usually know what horsepower is. So that's why I say, like, some of these things we don't need to know, and they confuse us with these terms when they're not important to knowing about your car and how to take care of it.
Folks, there's 1,000 more things in here. The Girls Auto Clinic glove box guide, how to change a tire, how to find the lift points when you're setting up a jack. What order do you put lug nuts back on whenever you're fixing a tire? Is that important? You bet it is. Checking your fluids. My goodness, I could go on and on. It's called Girls Auto Clinic glove box guide. It's a paperback book. Patrice Banks, is this available in stores, or must you get it online, or what's the deal on that?
Yeah, so it's available in stores, Barnes & Noble. You can get it online, Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or just go to our website, GirlsAutoClinic.com, and it'll direct you to the right place to get your book.
Patrice, nice to meet you. Do you always wear red high-heeled shoes when you're at the shop?
Not always. Sometimes. I'll have them on today. when I'm working on cars, not normally, but, you know, sometimes us girls just like to have fun and wear heels.
Well, you know I've read your book because they pop up every once in a while on a page.
yes, because we're going to turn you from an auto airhead to a Chicanic. So that's like all my car savvy ladies, your Chicanics, and you're feeling good about your car, you're making the right choice.
I love it. Her name is Patrice Banks. Patrice, nice to meet you. Thanks for spending time with us today. I loved it. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Sure.
Thanks, Dave. I enjoyed myself.
Sure.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler. Are you back to school ready? At Institute Hill Pharmacy in Butler, our knowledgeable and friendly staff can help you with all of your back to school prescription needs. We carry asthma, allergy, and diabetic medications. And when cold and flu season hits, we offer a variety of over-the-counter medications and speedy prescription fill service to help you feel better fast. So stop by Institute Hill Pharmacy, located at 937 East Jefferson Street. Call 285-3693 or find us on Facebook. A healthy and happy school year begins with Institute Hill Pharmacy, an old-fashioned pharmacy just the way you remember. Welcome, listeners, on the next segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR. My name is Dave Malarkey. Our guest joins us by telephone today. She is journalist and, for the purposes of our discussion, author Linda Stacy. Stacy, nice to meet you. Nice to have you with us today.
Thank you so much. Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Linda is a well-known TV news reporter, newspaper columnist, with the New York Daily News, is that right? Do I have the right paper?
Daily News, yes.
Yeah. And also the author of a new book entitled The Book of Judas, and that's what we're going to talk about today. First of all, we emphasize this is a novel, right? It's a thriller that you have written?
Yes, it's a novel, but it's based on years of research, and it's based on fact.
And I'm assuming that the Judas involved is Judas Iscariot from the Scriptures?
Yes. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Apparently, as it turns out, if I may, 2,000 years ago, a gospel that he allegedly wrote had been buried in a cave, and it was found in Egypt, and it was found in the 1970s. And then it was passed around, lost and found, lost and found, lost and found, on the black market. And it ended up in a bank in New York and in Long Island, actually, and it was put back together by National Geographic, but it was in bazillion pieces. So they managed to put it back together, and this novel is based on that gospel.
And is this where you got the inspiration, the idea? You happened upon this National Geographic article? I assume the National Geographic published it once they got it put together.
Believe it or not, I didn't get it that way. This is how it happened, and it's so crazy. So the first novel I wrote, The Sixth Station, it was also the same thing. I kept getting all these messages and signs and craziness from the universe, you know, that was directing me to this research. So for this second book, I was so glad that I was finished with writing the first novel, and I couldn't wait to just lay down on my couch in my house and never do it again. So I'm laying down on the couch, and I look at the bookshelf, and there on the bookshelf, now I'd owned the house for 12 years, is a book called I, Judas by Taylor Caldwell. And I pulled it down, and I thought, well, that's weird. I didn't bring it here. I asked everyone in my family if they'd ever brought it. Nobody had. The book had been published like 40-something years earlier. So it just showed up. Hmm. So I thought it was very interesting. And the next few days, about 3 days later, my daughter and I went to Princeton, New Jersey for a girls' getaway weekend. And because she's a huge pain smarty pants, she insisted, instead of just getting spa treatments, that we should go to the Princeton bookstore. So we went to the Princeton bookstore, and there on the front table is something called The Gospel of Judas, interpreted by Elaine Pagels, who's a Princeton scholar. And I thought, That's like two Judas signs in 3 days. So I buy the book, and then it says that the gospel had been lost and found on the black market, and it ended up in a Citibank deposit box for 17 years rotting in Hicksville, Long Island. And I thought, well, I grew up in Hicksville, Long Island. Then it said the Citibank branch on Broadway in Hicksville, Long Island. That's where I had my first ever bank account, and my parents had their bank account. So, kind of to paraphrase the Casablanca, of all the bank deposit banks in the world, you ended up in mine. It was just, I mean, there must be 2 million, 4 million, whatever, bank branches around the world, and it's in my bank branch in Little Hicksville, Long Island.
Wow, that is kind of spooky, that's for sure.
So I thought, okay, I got to do it.
Well, we'll get to, and obviously, folks, this is a thriller, so don't worry. We're not going to spoil it for you. We will a little bit later in our conversation here give you a little bit of an outline of a plot. But first of all, so you got this idea, spooky as it may have been, freaky, actually, kind of scary. And then what, you started looking into it? You started doing research? Then you stumbled on the Book of Judas?
No, so I started doing research because I was intrigued. And my research, because I'm a journalist, and unlike a lot of authors who can make up places and events from whole cloth, I'm a journalist, so I have to investigate everything 900,000 ways till next Christmas. So I started investigating, and I thought, well, I need to go to Israel. I need to go where this all started. So I went to Israel, and my husband has a very, very, very distant relative in Israel who I was made to understand was a mystic and an artist. So I thought, I've got to go meet this guy. So I drove out like 2 hours, 3 hours into the desert, and I came upon this beautiful house, and the second I walked in, all the lights blew out. Hmm. And I'm thinking, okay, this is strange. So I'm talking to the man, and he's very interesting, and he is an artist, and he is a Kabbalist mystic. And he said, well, why don't you come down? I want to show you something in the basement. And I thought, okay, here it is. I'm going to die now. Here's the part where he bludgeons me to death. Or maybe there's a finished basement with a nice bar, and I can have a martini. But so I went in the basement. You will not believe this. Under his house is a 3,000-year-old burial tomb. That was discovered like 12, 13 years ago when they were doing a dig in the area, and it was a tunnel. They found a tunnel that led, and it led to his basement, and that's what his basement is. It's got all the shelves where the bodies were laid out and still old funerary jars. It was just incredible. So we're in the pitch dark in the basement in a 3,000-year-old burial tomb, and we lit it all with candles, and I felt this sense of must have been exactly what it was like when these funerals took place. So I got a big part of my book from that, and then, here, spooky again, the second I walked out of the house, the lights went back on.
What did this guy have to say about that, this mystic character?
He's kind of used to it, kind of used to mystical things happening. But he's also used to the fact that I was walking around outside his house, and there's like bits of pottery and coins. And I said, well, these are ancient. He said, oh, the place is littered with them.
So this basement, did I hear you correctly? Did you say it was like 3,000 years ago that this had been used as a tomb?
It was a burial tomb, yes. Wow. What they used to do in the olden days is that when somebody died, they'd bring them to these tombs underground or in caves, and there were shelves, and the bodies would lay out on the shelves. And then when they had completely decomposed and it was just bones, they'd put them in funerary jars, and that's how they were buried. The bones were buried in these jars. So this tomb held the shelves and some pottery and things like that from way back. And it had been buried, because it was underground to begin with, but then the desert sands covered it and whatnot, and this guy built his house on that exact spot, not knowing there was a tomb underneath.
3,000 years, so that is dating back to the time, well, I think the Jewish scriptures would have already been compiled by that time,
right.
I think, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Even though that's 1,000 years before the Common Era. Yeah.
Right. But I don't know if it was a Jewish burial or an Egyptian. I have no idea. They don't know what it was.
Mm.
They just know it was a burial tomb.
A lot of people have lived in that area of the world over the millennia. The Egyptians,
right.
Certainly for
right.
a while. The Phoenicians for a while. Yeah. Well, anyway, we're getting off track here. You've got me all spooky, Linda. So how did you end up turning this into the Book of Judas?
Okay, so my first novel, The Sixth Station, was about this reporter in New York City named Alessandra Russo. And it was about the Veil of Veronica, which I found in a monastery in Montepello, Italy, which I believe might have the DNA of Jesus on it. So the book, the first book, was based on her covering this story of the cloning, possible cloning of Jesus. And at the end of that book, we have a hint that she might be pregnant. So at the beginning of this book, she's now still a reporter, and she's the mom of a six-month-old son. And her best friend, who's a former firefighter from 9/11, tells her that his horrible, mean father has died. And she's like, okay, hurry up. I'm sorry, I'm terrible, but I've got to get into the news meeting or I'll get fired. And he says, he left me a relic worth $10 million. Hmm. And that's how it starts. So what the relic is, there are, as far as the researchers believe, there are missing pages from this Gospel of Judas that was found. And the book is about those missing pages. Do they contain the secret to resurrection? What are they, and why were these pages taken, and no other pages were taken? So it's a huge, huge amount of research, and so the backstory is all true.
So just to make sure for our listeners, your protagonist, Alessandra Russo, it's a continuing character from your first novel, but this is standalone, right? You don't have to have read the first
one. Okay. Yes, standalone, okay. Yes. As a lot of the reviews have said, you know, it's a continuing character. You don't have to have read the first book, because I explain her adventures in this book about what happened in the first book so that readers are brought up to snuff.
So you're,
even though it's standalone anyway.
Your protagonist, Alessandra, she, this is in your novel, in your thriller, she begins to try to track down these missing pages?
Well, no, what happens is the father of the friend who says he left me a relic worth $10 million, they have this tube, a sealed brass tube, and the pages are inside that tube, but she must go to Israel to get the keys, the secret lost, tiny, tiny, minuscule, she has one, and another one to open the tube, because without it, you can't just open pages like this without them disintegrating. So she goes to Israel where she's tracked the little, tiny other key to.
And, that's the beginning of the plot of
And then the plot thickens.
Yes. So the Book of Judas is the title,
right.
It is fictional, of course, but based on this so-called Book of Judas. By the way,
Gospel of Judas.
Gospel of Judas. So when they found this thing in Egypt, you say it was in the 1970s this thing was unearthed somewhere?
In a cave in Almania, Egypt.
So,
along with some other biblical era writings and codexes,
there have been
some of which have disappeared completely.
There have been a number of discoveries, of course, some in present-day Israel, in the caves near the Dead Sea. Dead Sea Scrolls,
right.
I think they're commonly referred to, although that's
yes,
not the...
Yes, that was in the 1940s,
mm-hmm.
The Dead Sea Scrolls.
So
I'm sure the land is rich with things that have been buried.
There have been other, what are referred to as Gnostic Gospels that have turned up. One that I'm vaguely familiar with is called the Gospel of Thomas.
Yes, and there's this Gospel of Mary, which was written supposedly by Mary Magdalene.
Tell me, did you actually locate this translation and read it?
Yes.
Is it long?
Yes. No, it's only a couple of dozen pages because a lot of it is missing, not missing, it's rotted away. Most of it is totally rotted away.
Hmm.
It was written on both sides. I think it's 24 pages altogether, written on both sides.
You have been, Linda Stacy, listeners, if you joined us a little bit late, our guest, we're talking about her new thriller, The Book of Judas. You've been on, you've been on a lot of TV shows, and I assume you work as a columnist. Chris Matthews, yes. CBS Morning News, Today Show, The View, so on and so forth.
Right.
This is your second novel, right?
Yes, it is.
Have you written other books, Linda?
Yes, I've written other nonfiction books, but I only got into the fiction genre seven or eight years ago. I've always wanted to. I guess everybody has a secret book inside them that they want to do. And I just never knew what to do until I went to, my husband and I took a road trip. Now, not like normal human beings who go take a road trip to Disney World. We took a road trip through Turkey. And this book started falling out of my head from that moment. The first book, The Six Stations, started falling out of my head from that moment. And it's interesting because I'm an agnostic, which is, means that I believe in everything and I believe in nothing. I have to be shown. Okay, I mean, it's part of what I do. I'm very spiritual, but I don't believe in any particular organized religion. So the fact that these religious books sort of coming out of my head and is interesting in and of itself. That I need to do research on why that happened.
Any more Alessandra Russo's going to be coming out of the pipeline here, or is she done?
No, everybody wants me to do another one. I just have to see if another book falls off a shelf.
Hmm.
Or I start traveling somewhere. I went to Peru and Bolivia recently, and I thought it might happen there, but it didn't. So I have to wait for the signs.
Let me ask you one question as we wrap up here about your work for the Daily News. Most of our listeners will have heard of it, of course, but it's not on sale here. Do you have
it's online. It's a huge has a huge online presence. NYDailyNews.com.
Do you have a particular beat? Are you a general assignment reporter, or what? Or
no,
are you
I'm a columnist. I have a column on Wednesdays and Sundays. Sunday is a full page, and I cover everything, for everything from politics to pop culture. I've been covering Donald Trump a lot. I mean, he and I have known each other for 25 years, and he actually came to my last book party. We've had a kind of a parting of the ways because I'm not agreeing with everything he's doing, and he kind of got mad at me. So.
Look out.
he should look out, too.
you'll
if I was afraid of anything, I wouldn't have ended up doing what I do for a living. So
you'll be defriended.
I think I already was defriended, unfriended, whatever you call it.
Our guest listeners, Linda Stacy, if you're looking for her, it's Stasi. Linda.
Right, and my website is lindastasi.com, and all the information of the book and the research and all the other ones. And we did a trailer for the book, which is really fun. You can find that all on there as well.
Hey, Linda, nice to meet you. Nice to talk with you today.
Nice to meet you, too. Thank you so much for your time.
Sure, sure. So long now.
Bye.
Midday lottery numbers for you today. The pick 2 is 3333. The pick 3 is 429. Pick 4 is 7773. The pick 5, 12536. The wild ball for each of those is 1. The treasure hunt is 1, 5, 12, 13, 14. And the estimated jackpot for tomorrow's treasure hunt is $50,000.
Whether you're a competitive athlete or a weekend warrior, any injury that keeps you on the sidelines is not one worth having. The sports medicine specialist at Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers will help you get back into action so you can keep up your lifestyle. Our experts understand that the same treatments for competitive athletes can be used for those who just want to be able to stay active. They accept major insurance plans, including both Highmark and UPMC. Learn more about how you can get back on the field by visiting TriRiversMSK.com.
Butler Health System is more than a community hospital. It's a community of expertise trusted by our neighbors across the region. For renowned surgeon Dr. Tony Maloof, that means his neighbors are connected to a modern network of exceptional care.
While I'm part of a very close-knit group, I'm also a part of something bigger. Every day, I can see the difference this makes for my patients and for me.
But in its heart, Butler Health System retains the genuine caring of a community hospital, where patients are treated like friends and neighbors, because that's exactly who they are. And for orthopedic surgeon Thomas Mazzanegro, that caring is where it all begins.
We're committed to providing the absolute best care, and that means understanding what's important in the lives of our patients.
At BHS, we know what it takes to provide the very best of care. But more importantly, we know why we have to. Caring hands, remarkable minds. That's Butler Health System.
The classic hits are on Real Hometown Radio, WISR 680 Butler.